Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Down 1 point with a minute left last night. The Broncos let the clock run all the way down to 20 seconds before calling a timeout. They decided to kick a field goal on 4th and 5 from the 46 instead of letting Russ cook and giving the ball back to their quarterback. The Broncos would end up losing on the missed kick. Shannon, is Russ worth the $243 million your Broncos gave him?
Yes. Russ didn't have his best game last night, but he's a huge upgrade over what they've had since Peyton Manning retired in 2016, Skip. I still believe Russ has plenty to play. And here's some of the quarterbacks that, since Peyton retired, Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch, Brock Osweiler, Case Keenum, Joe Flacco, Drew Locke, Brandon Allen, Jeff Driscoll, Brett Rippon, Teddy Bridgewater. Russ is better than all those guys. And you look at what's in the division. Patrick Mahomes ain't going nowhere for another 10 years. Justin Herbert's not going anywhere for another 10 years. Derek Carr's probably going to be there for another 5 to 10 years. Skip, you got to have somebody to compete. No playoffs. They've been, look, Bronco country, we're accustomed to winning.
Yep.
And that's not what, it wasn't even close. And it wasn't, it's no fun watching when you're too, when you know your team is not going to win. I believe Russ gives them the best chance to compete for a division title and to make the playoffs. Without him, you have no chance. Now, I know last night, notwithstanding, wasn't, you look at the numbers. If you didn't watch the game, you're like, well, damn, Russ only missed 11 throws. He had 340 yards. He had a touchdown. Yeah, I get all that. But it wasn't good enough. And I believe he'll be better moving forward. But I do believe the Broncos made the right decision. That was the best decision. And you're not going very far without one of these top quarterbacks. And I believe Russ is one of those top quarterbacks. Is he the top? No, he's not. For me, he's not Mahomes and these other guys. But, Skip, I believe you can make the playoffs with him. And if the things go right, you can win in the playoffs with him. But he was absolutely worth what they gave up to get him because they got no chance without him.
All I know is he'd better be better than he was last night when he was dinking and dunking all over Seattle, it felt like, because 12 of his targets went to Javonte Williams, his running backs, which doubled the next number of targets, 6, which went to the tight end, mm-hmm. and the two wideouts got 7 targets, but it was on catches. The tight end was ahead of the two because they only got 4 balls apiece.
Correct.
Okay. I didn't see much. I'm going to throw it down the field. And when he did throw it down the field,
I was screaming
to Judy. It was a terrible underthrow that Judy turned into a touchdown.
But, Skip, you see how they start the game? What the hell with all these boots? Boots don't threaten the defense. Boots don't score points. Stop with all these boots. That's why you got Russ to push the ball down the field. You got Cortland Sutton, who's a former Pro Bowl player. You took Jerry Judy in the first round just 3 years ago. Push the ball down the field.
Yep.
Stop all that shore fishing. Get out that deep sea fish.
Okay, I'm going to remind you, last year in Seattle, and it wasn't all his fault, but Russell Wilson went 6-8 in the games that he started. Mm-hmm. 6-8, and obviously they weren't very good, and he had a career low QBR. And you can make the case that he was starting to hit the later career wall. Mm-hmm. You can make the case that with his celebrity wife and his children, he's starting to segue into sort of off the field more than on the
Doing
field.
Doing what? Is he going to do TV? What is he segueing in? He's going to be in movies? He's going to be in television? What is he segueing into?
I think he's got his hand in all of the above. And I don't know if football is his passion and focus quite the way it was when he first had to make his way in this league as a third-round draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
The point is that there was a great quote in there. I don't know if it was great, but it was sort of stunning quote in The Athletic in a Mike Sando piece from an anonymous NFL executive and said, I'm just going to paraphrase it. It's going to be intriguing to see how Denver deals with how high maintenance that Russ is, because he is high maintenance because he brings his entourage, family and friends on the road. You need many extra hotel rooms on the road and he needs an office at the facility. Well, I'm with you on your big picture point. Whatever all that is, you just have to try it.
Yeah.
You have to plunge on it and accept it. And you have to say, do we want to go forward with Drew Locke or do we want to give 2 firsts and 2 seconds and give away Drew Lock and give away Noah Fant, who's pretty good, mm-hmm. and Shelby Harris, who started defensive end last night for Seattle. So you gave away three potential starters, although Geno beat out Drew Lock, obviously, and two firsts and 2 seconds, and then you got to turn around and pay Russ not top
right.
tier money, but somewhere maybe.
I mean, it's still going to be top 10 money, sure. even when Lamar comes up, Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
Do contracts after this season, Skip.
Okay, I got it. But in the big picture, I think Lamar Jackson looked at Russ's deal and said, thanks a lot, guy. You know, like you're killing me over there because right. you gave them kind of a little bit of a discount right. here right. because you're later in your career, but you just want to play it out and get your 5 years.
A lot of guys don't think because, Skip, a lot of times what the guys would do is that, okay, I've got to look down the road. I remember talking to Von Miller, and he says, well, if I accept this deal, this is going to impact Khalil. This is going to impact the next guy. But these quarterbacks are like, hey, let me get my money. Hey, I worry about something. Y'all worry about that. And it kind of started with the Patrick Mahomes because Patrick Mahomes took far less than market value.
Very team friendly.
And so now these teams are like, nah, hey, you see what Patrick Mahomes did? You see what Russell Wilson did? You see what Kyler Murray did?
Yep.
I don't know if Justin Herbert, I don't know if Joe Burrow. Now, Mike Brown is cheap. Joe Burrow could easily end up playing somewhere else because you know how cheap Cincinnati is.
Yeah.
So
all they did was play in the Super Bowl last year.
And he might say, well, I got $25 million for you, Joe. That's all I got for you. But, Skip, you've got to try it.
Okay.
You've got to.
Okay. I buy that. But my gut feeling is right now, that Russ won't be able to live up to what you want him to be.
Well,
I'm just not sure he's capable of that at this stage.
You don't think he can get him to the playoffs?
Well, to the playoffs, yeah. I'll give you that, although I didn't pick him to be in the playoffs this year.
But let me ask you a question. Do you believe this roster is talented enough to win a Super Bowl? When you look at the teams that we say could get to and win a Super Bowl, are the Broncos close to that?
Yep, they are.
I don't think so.
They're in the ballpark.
No. I don't think so, Skip. You saw that defense last night? Okay, where's your difference maker on
maybe
the
I get fixated on Patrick Surtain, and I wanted him so bad, I think you got him.
Yeah.
So you got that.
He's going to be a good player. Bradley Chubb showed some flashes.
He did.
But, Skip, you need Aaron Donald or T.J. Watt or a Von Miller. You see, Von just needed to be in a situation. Von needed to be out of Denver. He was nicked up, but he wasn't going to be able to be Von Miller because they were always going to be behind. It's hard to rush the quarterback when you're behind. Now, you watch him this year with Buffalo. When they play with the lead, watch how he gets after the quarterback. Aaron Donald, team plays with a lead. He can go hunting. I think you have to do it, and I get all that stuff. I don't really like all that other stuff, all these hotel, all these entourages. I'm all about the player. Okay, you on the team? You the team doctor? Okay, you team this, team that? Okay, I'm all with that. But if that's what Russ needs, if he needs his wife and kids and security and all that, Skip, to be his best, okay, let's give it a shot. But, if that ish don't pay off, we shutting that down. We are shutting that down.
Then you're going to have a big
problem. Well, we're going to have a big problem.
It might be a quiet problem because he's not one to go that public with this, but he was making it tough on those people in Seattle.
Because, Skip, why you got, I mean, the thing that we understood that John got privileges that a lot of us didn't get. TD got privileges. I got some privileges. We understand that. But not outwardly. Man, you getting 5 rooms, 6 rooms on the, you got an office and you got, whoa, hold up now. Come on, bro. We together now. We understand, but don't just be in my face with it. Just don't throw it up in my face how much more important you is, because I'm going to have a problem with that. But you better pay it off.
Okay, I hear you. But I really like your top 3 receivers, and I know you lost a really good one, but you still have 3 really good ones. And your running back, and I know you said he's got to be the guy.
Yes.
But he is the guy. Every time I watch him, I grow more impressed by the snap.
If I got wide receivers, and if all I'm running is boots and I'm throwing it to the tight end in the flat and I'm checking the ball down to the running back, what good is that receiver?
It was no good last night because they were like no shows and it wasn't their fault.
And then he went to the third, late in the third and the fourth quarter to try to get him the ball. What happened in the first half? Get him the ball.
Even down the stretch, he wasn't trying to get them.
But Skip, you got to.
I buy that, but I'm just not sure. In fact, my gut tells me it will not pay off big in Denver.
Skip, Denver roster isn't as talented as Kansas City. Their roster isn't talented as San Diego's.
No.
Excuse San Diego's. Yeah, L.A. Chargers. They're not roster. When you look at it, look at what they got offensively in Las Vegas. Oh, come on.
Well, just you got one guy for sure. You got the best receiver in football.
Hunter Renfro's called over 100 balls.
Yeah,
you got Darren Waller.
I know.
He's one of the three or four best tight ends. I mean, you look at Kelsey and Kittle and the big kid in Baltimore, Andrews, Waller. They're right there together.
Yep.
But no, Skip. I mean, I still think they need pieces. But in order to compete in the AFC West, you got to get a quarterback. And without him, Skip, that's why Mahomes been running away with the division. He's been the best quarterback.
Okay. So you plunged.
Yeah.
And it might be a dry well.
Maybe. Damn if you do it, damn if you don't.
Yeah, I agree.
But all this could have been forgot. Damn, we had a chance to get Josh Allen.
True. That would have done it.
But you had to get somebody to coach him up. Go ahead, Jen.
Next up for your Broncos, the Texans. They let a 17-point fourth quarter lead slip away Sunday. They tied with the Colts.
We got
maybe
them.
Maybe a get-right game?
One and one.
We
one and one.
Out.
Y'all 0-2, 1-1.
All right. What about the Cowboys? Let me get you to that one up next. Will they still be in the playoff hunt when Dak Prescott returns? We'll jump into that debate when we return.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Yesterday, Dak Prescott underwent surgery on that right thumb, and originally doctors thought he'd miss 6 to 8 weeks. But some breaking news this morning that might put a smile on Skip's face. During his weekly radio interview just a few minutes ago, Jerry Jones said actually it might be closer to just 3 to 4 weeks that Dak misses now. Shannon, should Jerry go get another quarterback to replace Dak regardless?
No, I think it's too late. I think the thing is, Skip, anytime you're in a situation like this, like Jerry is, he's the president, he's the general manager, he's the owner, you look at every situation, okay, if we were to lose one of our key contributors, do we have adequate replacement at that position? Because this is what you factor in when you're building a team. Now, I can see, Skip, given Dak's history, the last 3 years, something says, okay, maybe we might need to get a little bit better adequate backup other than Cooper Rush. Now, if you like Cooper Rush, you stand pat with Cooper Rush. Now, this is not a Tom Brady situation. Mm. This is not a Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning went 14 years, never missed a snap. Tom Brady has gone basically every year since he had that knee injury and hadn't missed a snap, except, you know, they're winning the game late in the season. He comes out of the ball game. But Dak Prescott, what have we seen, Skip? Mm. Okay, we saw the broken ankle. We saw the lat injury. We saw the calf. And so something is telling, okay, later in his career, the injuries are starting to come in with greater regularity. Is Cooper Rush enough? If Dak were to miss, not a week, but a month, 6 weeks, maybe even 8 weeks, could Cooper Rush hold the fort down? If you believe he can, which I believe they do believe he can, because that's why they didn't go out in free agency and get anybody else, you stand pat. Because the length of time that it would take somebody else to come in,
yep,
get up to speed with your system,
mm-hmm,
Dak probably is going to be back.
Mm.
And so for me, Skip, I'm standing pat. Jimmy G would have been a nice option, but what do we know about the Cowboys? They don't like giving up draft compensation. Mm. First of all, they don't want to give up those picks, and they're not really trying to pay anybody. So I believe they're going to stay with Cooper Rush, considering the success that he did have last year. He went to Minnesota. He did win that game. And so they believe, and you said you like what you saw when he came in mop-up duty on Sunday. So factor that in. He won a game last year. Mm-hmm. He played particularly well. I think Tampa was just like, okay, nothing cheap, nothing deep. And they didn't really game plan for him, because you don't anticipate the starting quarterback goes out. And that's why a lot of times the backup can come in and have success, because you didn't game plan for him. So for me, Skip, I don't see it happening. I believe they're going to move forward with Cooper Rush. And I know they're saying, and that's the problem, everybody's trying to rush the guy. Okay, Dak come back in there. But they make it seem like Dak was a world beater before he got hurt.
Thank you.
What
agreed.
In 6 years, what have we seen, Skip? Stock market up, down, up, down, up, down. We haven't seen this. We've seen whoop.
How high are the highs against good teams?
Oh, again, we've seen him throw, like you said, we've seen him throw for 402, 403 last year.
Mm-hmm. That was his best game of his life against Tom Brady at Tampa when nobody expected anything from him because he hadn't played a single snap, even in a scrimmage through the preseason because of the oblique injury.
And we just saw him throw for what, $150?
Yeah.
$160-something?
Yeah. Against the same defense.
Exactly.
They went from leading the league in points and yards last year to three. They got 3 points. Way to go.
And probably less than about 200 yards, 250 yards.
Okay, my turn. Again, I'm lifelong diehard, so you can disqualify me. I don't have any objectivity when it comes to this football team. But I'm here to tell you that all last year, I campaigned for them to go get Cam Newton before the season started. And then at some points early in the season, go get Cam. If Cam's available, go get him. He's made to be a Dallas Cowboy because he has the mystique and the aura and the sort of playmaking emotion to his game that I love. I'm a big Cam fan.
Right.
He's only 33 years of age.
Right.
But at this moment, it feels like the league is just sort of passing. They've moved along, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. God bless him. It was 2015. He won the MVP in this league, and he took him all the way to the Super Bowl, and then Von Miller happened. Okay. I still believe that last year he was the right answer to this question.
Right.
Then Cooper Rush happened on Halloween night at Minnesota on a Sunday night game, solo stage game. Cooper Rush, he was undrafted out of Central Michigan, but he had this going for him. He plays just like every preseason game because they're not going to play Dak.
Right.
And he's been in that system, if we lead up to this year, you realize he's been in this system for 6 years now.
Right.
There was a moment when he went to the Giants only because Jason Garrett, after he got fired and became the offensive coordinator of the Giants, said, I want him to come here.
Right.
I want him to be our backup quarterback. And I don't know exactly what happened, but it didn't quite work out. And they finally cut him in their final cut.
Right.
And he came right back to Dallas. And remember, once upon a time before Andy Dalton became available, remember Jerry paid Cooper Rush a nice piece of coin to be their backup quarterback. And then all of a sudden Andy Dalton shows up and it's like, oh, well, we got to go get Andy Dalton.
Right.
Okay. So what did I see from Cooper Rush at Minnesota? Man, I saw poise. I saw confidence. I saw fearlessness. I saw him go for, wait a second, is this possible? 24 of 40 for 325 yards against Kirk Cousins at Minnesota. That night, Kirk threw for 184 with one touchdown, so he didn't do a whole lot. And by the way, if I look at my stat sheet here, would you believe that Justin Jefferson that night had 2 catches for 21 yards?
Mm-hmm.
Not sure that's going to happen again.
Okay. You hope it does, but it probably won't.
I probably won't. Okay, just to demonstrate, because a lot of our viewers probably have no real sense of who Cooper Rush is or was or what happened at Minneapolis, can I show you what he did in this game in order? I'm going to give you his longest to shortest completions in order. Not to the shortest, but these are all his bigger plays in the game. And it starts with a 73-yarder that went for a touchdown to Cedric Wilson. If we could start with that play, just to show you what he did. Okay, that's a pretty good throw. And obviously, he beat the corner, and then he just outran everybody to the goal line, and he's no longer a Dallas Cowboy.
Right.
And then we got Amari for 33, and it was close. You could argue it could have been picked, but it was still where it should have been. And then here we go to Amari again for 29. And then guess who this is? Oh, that's that guy 88 that Dak never seems to be able to find, and that went for 20. And here's a 19-yarder to CeeDee Lamb. So maybe CeeDee becomes more a part of the game plan this time. And then he comes back to Amari, and that's for 18. And then guess who again? He goes back to 88, and okay, and at least that's for 17. And then he goes back to Amari for 15 more. And then he throws it to Zeke to end this up for 15 more yards. And it's just a little pop pass, and Zeke just plows through two Vikings. That's vintage Zeke right there. Okay, I just showed you the best of.
Right.
And yet I look at the numbers here, and, man, it starts to look pretty good when I look at what the Dallas Cowboys did, their receivers, because Amari caught 8 for 122. Obviously, he's a Cleveland Brown, but CeeDee caught 6 for 112, so that will work.
Right.
Okay. Cooper Rush looked pretty good to me. Is he as good as Dak? Well, no. Although I must tell you, Jerry got all, and Jerry is the cockeyed optimist, but I got to read you one Jerry quote from the other night. This is after the game when he was gushing about how much they believe in Cooper Rush because they don't have to change a thing for him. Obviously, let's do the hypothetical. If you brought in Cam today, right here, right now, well, what are you going to do? You got to sort of
tailor the offense to what he does really well.
And you got to do it on the fly.
Right.
With the Bengals coming, and by the way, somebody on this side of the table picked Tampa Bay to play Cincinnati in the Super Bowl, and my team, the Dallas Cowboys, have to deal with Tampa and now Cincinnati, who is, we're going to talk about this a little later, a 7-point favorite at Dallas on Sunday. 7-point favorite. Okay, this is Jerry after the game, cockeyed optimist that he can be, and he's talking about Cooper Rush, and he says, candidly, we have to look at it. And I don't see this on the horizon, but I'm going to use it as an example of how I felt when Tony Romo went down against Seattle. Remember in the,
preseason
game just before we started here in 2016. And Jerry goes on, and how I felt 2.5, 3 months later when you had to make a decision whether Tony was starting or Dak. So
he's dropping
a little hint there.
Come
like
on, Skip.
He says, I don't want to go this far, but
you went that far.
I'm going to make an example here. What if we get to a point, maybe a couple of months down the line,
Dak
and you're having to say, wait a second, should we start Cooper Rush or Dak?
Skip, you've been around this game far too long. You know you don't open that Pandora's box.
Well, he did.
You don't put that.
He opened it before it even got started. Right?
You don't, Skip, you don't even put that in the universe.
No.
You don't manifest that. You're asking for a prop. You're creating a problem that didn't even exist.
Okay, so there was a reason Cooper Rush was undrafted, but there was also a reason Tom Brady fell to the sixth
round.
And I'm not saying Cooper Rush to Tom Brady. I'm just saying he has slowly but surely won me over.
Yeah.
I think he's, like, legit.
Okay? I think he's an adequate backup.
He's an adequate backup where you can actually win a couple of games with him if you're kind of lucky. You're going to have to get some good bounces. So he hit, we should show this, he hit with very little time left on the clock. How much time was left here? 55 seconds left. He hit Amari with a 5-yard pass, if we could see this, to win the game and beat Kirk Cousins 20-16. This is for the game. Well, it's a good throw.
Yeah, it's a great
throw. It's kind of a fade route.
Great throw.
Yeah.
Okay. Back pylon, open over the top.
All right. And Amari went up and snatched it. Okay. And for once, Amari in a road game actually showed up.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
My point is, you can look at this two or three ways, but here's the point with Dak. I'm pretty sure, if I know what this kind of surgery was, I think they put a little plate and a little screw in because that's usually how you have to mend that injury.
Correct.
Because you got a crack at the base of your thumb in the bone, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you help me out here. You need your thumb to grip the football, okay? So it's not easy. So how good will Dak be when he comes? Let's say Jerry's right. And I threw this out yesterday. They said it was a clean break. It was easily repairable. What if he comes back in a month? Well, will he immediately be able to grip and be accurate?
No, I don't know. Maybe you've heard of one. You ever heard of any four-finger quarterbacks?
No.
It doesn't matter.
It's impossible. It's physically impossible. You cannot grip the ball with four fingers and no thumb. You just can't do it.
I don't really know if you could play quarterback position with any missing fingers on your throwing hand.
Little known fact, to me, the thumb is the key one of the quote-unquote fingers, right? It's the key to...
Well, you can't even grip the football. I mean, what are you going to do, serve it like a throw it like a waiter, like a shot put or something?
Well, that's the only way you'd have to do.
Exactly.
Yeah. So,
but here's the thing, though, Skip. He said that he didn't think he'd have to make a decision 2 or 3 months when Tony Romo. Are you saying that Cooper Rush could potentially be your starter? You drafted Dak, and so you said, okay, we stay with this decision because Dak is going to be our quarterback moving forward.
Okay.
Are you insinuating?
That's what he was insinuating. And by the way, Dalton Schultz said after the game, Cooper has been slinging it since I got here. And that's a good term for what he does. He will go out and sling it. And remember that woeful, what was it when Dak got hurt, 2020 season, when we had to endure, remember, BAD, Ben Anthony DiNucci. So we got Ben DiNucci, and then we got Garrett Gilbert.
Right.
He was reasonable. He had one good game against Pittsburgh where they sort of took him to the wire, and Pittsburgh got to 12-0 that day.
Yeah.
But the point is, this guy's different. He's 28 years of age. Mm-hmm. He's mature. He's an adulted quarterback. Mm-hmm. They trust him because he's fearless. He'll try the downfield throws where he's not trying to not lose the game. He's trying to go win the football game. He will make throws, and he'll risk some throws that you have to risk if you're actually going to go win it.
But if you think about it, think about what happened in those throws. You saw receivers stepping up. Okay.
They were going and getting the football. Amari just took it away from the DB.
Cedric Wilson got the party started with that 73-yarder.
He did.
And then here come Amari, here come CD. Okay, what did you see Sunday? What receiver is going to step up? Now, Stephen Jones said something very interesting yesterday. He says CD is going to have to show that he's a number one. Now, you've been speaking all obviously that he was a number one. There's no question he's a bona fide number one. We've cleared the decks. Now you're saying he needs to show you? Well, he should have already shown you that because you made a move that said he had shown you that. Now you said he needs to show you that.
That is correct.
I don't know, Skip.
And what did we both conclude? And you co-signed on it yesterday. Somehow there's no connection between Dak and CD. And I don't know what it is. And I didn't know what it was between Baker and Odell. But it just wasn't there for whatever reason.
Dak had better connection with Noah Brown.
He
all
did.
Of a sudden, CD.
He trusted Noah Brown. He seemed more comfortable going right to Noah Brown instead of double clutching, trying to throw it to CD on the slant.
But here's the thing, Skip. Quarterbacks lose confidence in receivers, too, now.
They do.
And you drop a couple or you're not where you're supposed to be or where I need you to be.
Yep.
I can't be messing with you.
Okay. I don't think Cooper Rush has any confidence problems with CeeDee Lamb.
No, I don't think so.
I think Cooper Rush will fling it in CeeDee's direction or sling it in CeeDee's direction because he's just out there playing football.
Right.
And I like his mentality. I like his chances. I like the way the team responds. It just seemed like once he came in the game for Dak, after unfortunately Dak went out, there was new electricity to it. There was a little new urgency. To your point, maybe it's because Tampa's just backing off. Saying,
right.
Okay,
yeah,
whatever you want, you can have whatever
you
want underneath. Okay, now I look at the schedule. We can do best case and we can do worst case. Here's my point to you, all right? Obviously, they're 0-1. Obviously, they're destined to be 0-2 because I don't think
Joe Burrow's going to play as bad this Sunday as he played last Sunday.
And by the way, I think they'll fix their long snapper situation. I don't know if he's still out
or not.
They'll
probably bring somebody in.
But that was a matter of all they have to do is kick one extra point or one chip-chop field goal, and the game is over,
yes.
And they beat Pittsburgh at Pittsburgh. And instead, both kicks got missed, and instead, finally, the Pittsburgh kicker nailed one.
Or you could have taken a delay of game and let the clock run down so you have Pittsburgh have less time than what they actually had. That was a theory. That was an ideal.
Yeah.
Who cares now?
Okay, so here's the point. Then they go to the Giants, and you say, boy, the Giants looked pretty good the other day, except Bullock had a 47-yard field goal to win the game after Tannehill had driven them from the 22 to the 30 on the other end. So Tannehill was making chunks of yards.
Yes.
So they had a shot to win the game, and they didn't win.
But Daniel Jones was still terrible.
Okay, Daniel Jones was terrible.
I'm going to make him beat me. I'm not going to let Saquon run free. I was like, hey. Let's stop Saquon.
I'm here to tell you, I trust Cooper Rush more than I trust Daniel Jones.
Oh, I do too.
So I think we have a chance to win that game at Giants. Won't be easy. It's a Monday night game, but I think we have a chance. Then your man walking to him and the Washington Commanders come to Dallas. I think we have a chance to win that game. Well, they're crucial because if you can win those two to get to 2-2, at least you're afloat.
You're 2-0 in the division, which is most important.
Okay. Then you have to go to the Rams and go to the Eagles. I don't love chances even with Cooper Rush in either of those games. But then you come back and you get Detroit and Chicago at home. Even with Cooper Rush, I think we got a great chance of winning those two games. So let's do worst case scenario. Let's say Dak is out for 8 weeks instead of just 4 weeks. Well, if you could go 4-4, well, then your head is above water. The glass is still half full.
Right.
You're still breathing, right?
But here's the thing. What's the Eagles' record? You guys go 4-4. What's the Eagles going
to
be?
Okay, here's what I do, and I dare any Cowboy fan or Cowboy hater to look down the schedule. Then they have to go to Green Bay and go to Minnesota, and those are tough games to win, obviously.
Yeah.
But I already had picked this. Down the stretch of the season, the back end of the schedule, it's Giants at home, Indy at home, Houston at home. You get three in a row, all winnable. Then at Jacksonville, Philly at home. Then you go to Tennessee and you go to Washington. But I'm saying my team could get on a roll and win out. Could win out.
When are you on the Cowboys to win eight games in a row?
They've done it many times in history. Many times.
Yeah, only you remember winning.
So I got, even with those two losses at Green Bay and at Minnesota, if Dak is back and back in the saddle, 11-5 is possible, and that could be wild card, here we come.
I'm going 10-7. Now, okay. I'm going to stay at 10-7. That's if you go 4-4. I think it's more realistic. You're probably 3-5, and you know Dak's going to lose some games that you should win because that's what he's done through his throughout his career. He's always found a way to lose games that you thought and everybody else thought they should win. So I don't see that. I don't see him getting away from that. And so 10-7 is the best case scenario.
Well, what if they decide to ride with Cooper Robert Rush? What if they just decide we're just going to let him take us home?
I want you to do that.
Okay.
I want you to do that.
We'll see.
So you do realize Dak's going to be gone at the end of the season.
Once upon a time, Jimmy Johnson said, Steve Berline, I'm sticking with you, and we're going to roll right into the playoffs, and Troy Aikman was healthy again.
Well,
they did
take Steve Walsh in the supplemental draft for the first round.
That's a whole nother story.
So that tells you something.
Yeah.
Well, McCarthy's promising those roster moves sooner rather than later, so we should find out.
He ain't making no decision. That's
right around the corner here, guys. All right, let's talk a little NBA. Steph Curry just told Rolling Stone in an interview that he was never hesitant about a potential reunion with KD. Curry says he would have welcomed Durant back after enjoying playing with him so much during KD's first stint in Golden State. Shannon, are you surprised Steph Curry pushed for the Warriors to trade for Kevin Durant?
I don't know if he pushed for it, but he said, hey, he would welcome it.
Well, he said, hell yeah.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Skip. Yes, Steph Curry has two more rings than that he would have had KD not gone there. He knows that KD makes his job a lot easier, and it greatly increases their chance. Now, they won last year. They're the first or second favorite this year. But if Kevin Durant was on Golden State for the next 3 years, they're going to be the favorite. No matter who, whether or not they lost in the finals or not, they're going to come back the following year and be the favorite to win again, to win the title in the upcoming season. KD and those Warriors, Skip, they were losing 13, 14 games a season. It wasn't, it was beautiful basketball, the way they moved the ball, the way they cut, everything. But, I mean, it wasn't no fun watching. Because you already know who's going to win. They're not going to lose 82 games. They'll probably be like 65-17, 67-15, something like that. No. But I think, look, Steph isn't threatened by KD. Steph knows he's the more accomplished player than Kevin Durant. He knows no matter what Kevin Durant accomplishes in Golden State, it's my team, big dog. It's my team.
Well, he does know that for sure.
And what?
As far as Dub Nation sees it, it's Steph.
And how everybody else sees it.
Yeah.
We heard what Shaq. We heard what Charles Barkley said. You wasn't no you bus riding. That's Steph's team. You went there. You joined them. Steph proved last year I can win without you, KD. You have yet to show that you can win without me. But in that same article, he says, look, yeah, it'd have been nice if I can keep Wiggs and I can get KD and Poole. But the one thing he always says, just like with LeBron, they're like, oh, I love to play with him too, but I like what I got. I like where he's always going to pay homage to what he has and what he's won and what he's accomplished with. And I'm not so sure he's willing to give that up. He knows that if we get KD, we're probably going to be without Poole. We're probably going to lose a lot of these young guys. Probably going to lose Wiggs also. Mm-hmm. And I think he's built a bond with those guys that he doesn't necessarily want to break. Like I said, he don't want to step on toes, Skip, because the worst thing that you could do, Skip, is like, ooh, I would love to have that guy. And then all of a sudden, we don't get that guy. And then everybody looking at you like this here. Mm-hmm. Oh, you wanted him, huh?
Yep.
Oh, we wasn't good enough. We helped win your title, but now you want to jettison us. So he's very, very mindful of saying, yeah, I would love to play with KD. He's an all-time great player. I had so much fun playing with him. But I'm cool with what I got.
Okay, I hear everything you just said, but I don't buy everything you said. I'm going to first make a positive point before I go extremely negative on this. But the positive point is I did love what Steph said about KD as a person, that he talked at length about him as a person. He said, from our history in those 3 years together, I think KD's a really good dude.
Right.
And you don't hear many people say this, but he's speaking from his heart on this one because he says, I think he's really misunderstood. I think he's had certain things happen in his life that hurt his ability to trust people around him in a sense of making him feel safe at all times. So all of those things I understand having played with him and got to know him. I love that dude. Okay, I love that quote because that is heartfelt, raw, real emotion mm-hmm. about a guy that you went to battle with
right.
and you won two rings with. All right, that's the good side of this. The bad side of it for me is you have elevated Stephen Curry into top 10 all-time status.
Top 10, yes.
Top 10
absolutely,
all-time.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And once again, he has disqualified himself by saying, yeah, I want a ring without him. And boy, I would love to have him back.
Yeah.
You would?
Yeah, stack number chips.
Wait a second. Just a second. You basically crawled all the way across the country on July the 3rd, back in 2016. You crawled.
He crawled.
You led a contingent all the way across, halfway out on Long Island.
He hitched the ride. They was already going that way. Steph said, I'll go along with you.
He was the perpetrator of that movement. He was the leader. And he got down on bended knee and said,
goodness.
Would you please come and save us? Because you told me that Draymond Green, of all Warriors, the tough guy, he fled into the parking lot, according to Shannon Sharp, in tears. Mm-hmm. Cell phone.
Soap suds all in his ear.
Yeah, all in his ear. KD, you got to come and save us. You got to come and save us, please. Because they had just blown a 3-1 lead to LeBron and Kyrie and company. And Steph Curry had come up even smaller than he is in those 3 games, especially the 2 at Oracle, because they had game 5 and 7 at home.
Yes.
In game 7, Steph Curry all time stunk it up. And even Draymond and Klay had to be saying to each other, my God, we got to go get somebody who can lead us back to the promised land. And they went and got the man who, as you correctly pointed out, helped Steph Curry and all the rest win 2 more rings mm-hmm. because LeBron was coming back because he was still in the East, still at Cleveland, and he was coming back to the finals 2 more times
yeah.
and they could just see it happening. They could see what history was going to bring to them.
They probably would have swept Golden State with Kyrie. The way Kyrie had all of a sudden turned the player that he had turned into.
Yep.
Without Kevin Durant,
okay,
they're not beating Cleveland.
So KD went and helped Steph win 2 rings.
He did.
And he cost LeBron 2 potential rings.
He did.
He did. It was a difference. It was nuclear, the difference he made. And then he realized, to your point, he woke up one day and said, I'm never going to be the man here because he was homegrown. They drafted him. They stole him in the draft.
Yeah.
And he is the baby-faced assassin.
Right.
And he is far more lovable than I am because I'm always picking fights with somebody.
Oh, Twitter,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm always the grumpy older man,
yeah,
right?
Okay. Yeah.
So that's.
I don't even know if Steph responds on Twitter.
No.
I know he has a Twitter account, but I don't even know if he responds to anybody.
He once took a shot at me on Twitter.
He did?
After they won in 2015, I believe it was, he took a shot. But whatever. The point is that how, as a top 10 player, could you then, after you went by yourself and led a team as you finally broke through and won your first finals MVP, how could you publicly admit, oh, yeah, hell yeah, I pushed for us to go get Kevin and reacquire him. He's a good dude. Well, that all sounds good, but it doesn't help your legacy. It's a legacy crusher because you're saying, well, I can't really win another one without him.
I need him
to come.
He already did it.
Yeah, we did it because Boston self-destructed. The team you picked to win the finals shot itself multiple times right in the foot.
But he said, on the prospects of acquiring KD, if anybody's saying that you wouldn't entertain that conversation, no disrespect to anybody on our team, but you don't know how things work. Skip, they entertained it.
Okay, but he's publicly acknowledging.
Yes.
He's gushing about
it. I told you.
Whew.
I told you. But it came down to, I don't believe Barb Myers was willing to part with everything that, and maybe, just maybe, they said, nah. Even if you give us Poole, even if you give us Wiseman, and you give us Kuminga and Moody and those 3 picks, that's still not enough. Maybe they said, after it was all said and done, maybe Brooklyn said no.
Mm.
Maybe Bob Myers says, no, I'm not willing to go that. But, Skip, you got to entertain it.
Okay, what if Jerry Krause and Jerry Reinsdorf had gone to Michael Jordan when he was like 30 years of age and said, hey, we can get Larry Bird. You want him? What do you think he'd say?
He'd go say, yeah.
Hell no. Yeah.
Let me ask you a question.
Hell no.
Let me ask you a question. If they say, you know what, Tom, we can acquire Jordan, Justin Jefferson. We can get Chase. Okay. Why not? You the gold quarterback. Yep. Why you need a receiver like that when you got Godwin, when you got Mike Evans? Why would you need Cooper?
Because you won your first six Super Bowls with three guys from Dorchester with a bunch of Edelmans and Amendolas. And he did it six times. You won with virtually nothing. Belichick's, you're seeing him get exposed right before your very eyes right now.
And Steph Curry said, I won my first title without him. Mm. He joined me to get a title.
Mm.
He joined me to get a title.
No, he came to save you after you shrank.
Skip, no matter what, if you come join me, I'm always going to be viewed upon because they're going to look at me as that I took you in. Mm. That's how they're going to look at it. And what do they say? KD joined Steph. Even though he did go help recruit him, he joined him. Steph didn't go to him.
Okay, but this would be trading for Kevin Durant. So you would have to initiate the move. It would be your choice to go get Kevin. Would he co-sign? I don't know. I assume he would. I have no idea. Maybe he'd say, I have enough of those guys. Maybe he would veto the trade for all I know. I have no idea.
Well, we had him for 3 years, gave him everything. Let the family fly on the plane. We did everything we possibly could. In 3 years, we're unhappy. Okay, we get rid of all these guys, and most of them are no more than 24 years of age.
That is correct.
What happens if he's unhappy in 2 years again? Then what do we do?
Okay, but what if you got two more rings to show for it? Is it worth it?
Hell yeah.
They say, guess what? We got a ring without him. Who says we can't get two more without him?
Well, that was thanks to LeBron crumbling in game four.
Whoa.
LeBron had them dead to rights. He's up 2-1 with game four in his house.
I know a guy that was up 3-1. I know a guy that was up 3-1.
I know 2-1, and I know LeBron played the best three games of his career in a row because he did not have Kevin Love, and then he lost Kyrie in game one in overtime, and he had them dead to rights they weren't the Warriors they didn't have Kevin.
They weren't, Skip, you do realize.
They didn't know who they were.
Steph Curry was the MVP. Steph Curry was the MVP.
No, Andre Iguodala was the MVP.
The regular season.
I got it. But then in those first three games, he shrank again, right on schedule. It was his first fall. Well, go look at his numbers. Go look at what he shot from three.
I'm just trying to figure out, how do you blame Steph Curry for blowing a 3-1 lead, but you never place any blame on Kevin Durant for blowing same said 3-1 lead? He did that.
Okay, one was in the finals, one was in the conference finals.
So guess what? The guy wouldn't even have been in the finals if your guy did what he was supposed to do.
And one guy was stuck with Russell Westbrook, just the way LeBron, as we speak, is stuck with Russ.
But that's not what you said. You keep saying LeBron James couldn't even make the play-in tournament with Russ. Now all of a sudden you give Kevin Durant a pass because he was playing with Russ. Mm. And LeBron James is playing with a less athletic Russell Westbrook than what Kevin Durant had.
Well, I thought you told me LeBron's better than KD.
That's not what you told me. So you think LeBron James would have... How many times have LeBron James ever blown a 3-1 lead?
Mm.
I know he's come back from 3-1.
Mm. I know he's gotten swept a bunch of times.
I know a guy that just got swept a couple of months ago.
Mm.
And it hurt him so bad, the man went and demanded a trade. Mm. Ask him, do you want him or me?
Same guy that
do you
Steph
want him
Curry said,
or do you want me?
We could have him. Let's go get him. Wow, interesting. But then Steph swam deeper and deeper into deep water.
And
then he had to walk it all the way back. He said, hey, if we want to run this thing back, I've got complete confidence in my team that we can win it again as constructed.
Yes,
because
I believe
it. He started to realize, wait a second, I'm sending a message to all those young guys that we'd have to trade all of them to get Kevin Durant.
Hey.
And he's saying, hell yeah, let's
go. Man, got swept so bad. LeBron James got swept and never demanded a trade.
Mm.
Never demanded a trade, no matter how bad things got. Mm. He never demanded a trade. Your guy got swept and played the beautiful ones.
Mm.
Ask Josiah, do you want him or do you want me?
Mm.
What happened, Skip?
Well, Kyrie.
The man demanded a trade.
Kyrie had
not
to
Kyrie.
Trade.
I don't want to hear nothing about, Kyrie.
Just the way Kyrie said, I want no more of this LeBron stuff.
See?
Because all he wants to do is stat pad.
Whoa. You see what you did? Now, when Kyrie said he didn't want any more, you didn't blame Kyrie. You said, can that well with it? Now Kevin Durant asked for a trade. You blame Kyrie.
Well, as we speak, Kevin Durant is still a Brooklyn Net, and so is Kyrie. And
they have no choice.
I think they might be the favorites to win it all.
He tried to strong arm. How you strong arm a billionaire?
Huh.
He's trying to twist the man arm behind his back, say, get me up out of here. He, Josiah wrestled up out of that thing, said, get over there in the corner. You playing here. You ain't going nowhere.
Okay. Well, he's still the best player on the
planet. I don't care. He's the best player. He's the best player on the planet in Brooklyn. Yeah. He ain't the best player on the planet somewhere else, like he thought, tried
all
to strong arm people.
Steph Curry needs help.
And guess what? Moonwalked his way right on back. Mm. We have decided to fix our differences, and I'm going to stay in Brooklyn.
Top 10.
All that commotion. He done tore up the house.
Yeah.
How you going to tear up your own house and got to stay in the very house that you done wrecked the kitchen, wrecked the living room, the bathroom, and now you got to fix it up and stay right there in that house?
Shannon, your all-time top 10 player just disqualified.
My top 10 player is still there.
No.
He more accomplished than Kevin Durant.
No, Kevin saved his career.
Four chips to two, two MVPs to one.
Yeah. And one big 3-1.
I got to jump in here, guys.
Got
to interrupt.
And got swept.
I can't wait for that Brooklyn Warriors game. That's going to be epic.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.